Hi, this is Blaine Smith's Honors Research Grant podcast for the spring semester of 2011. First off, I would just like to say thank you to the Honors College for the grant. It made my semester all the more easy to be able to do research as a job rather than having to do both separately. And so thank you for the support. What I did research on this semester was the mevalonate pathway. Mevalonate pathway is a protein pathway used by all eukaryotic cells and some prokaryotic cells like gram-positive bacteria. What it is used for is the production of things like isopentyl pyrophosphate, which is a precursor for isoprenoids such as beta-carotene, cholesterol, and steroid hormones. It also serves a role in things like cell membrane maintenance, steroid biosynthesis, protein anchoring, and it plays a role with the hormones in an organism. And so it's widely used in an organism. The research that we were conducting was specifically on the thiolase enzyme and the roles that it plays in the protein pathway. The thiolase enzyme is coded for, along with the reductase enzyme in the pathway, by one gene. And so what we wanted to do this semester was to isolate the thiolase protein so that we could study its individual properties, because its properties are usually seen in conjunction with the reductase protein, and we wanted to see what special properties it had if it was translated on its own. Now, this was my first semester doing research, and so before I could get into the actual research project for the semester, I started with a couple of basic techniques so that I could master those techniques before I actually started doing things that I wanted to get results from. The first technique that I got to practice was a transformation. Transformation is basically when you change the identity of a cell by inserting external DNA into the cell, which the cell takes up and then translates the proteins as indicated by the DNA which you inserted, and as such it changes the identity of that DNA. And so that was the first procedure that I did. The second procedure that I did, kind of for practice, was a protein purification, which the first step of which is a transformation. I transformed cells with the MVAS gene, which codes for the enzyme HMG CoA synthase, which is another enzyme used in the mevalonate pathway. After the transformation, essentially what we did was treat the cells with an enzyme, break the cells open to extract the protein which they had made after transformation, and run them on a nickel column. What the nickel column does is binds with the protein that we're looking for. The protein on its N-terminus end has six histidine molecules which bind with the nickel in the column and keep it from running out, and it separates it from the solution that it's in. You treat the nickel column with low levels of imidazole, which competes for those nickel molecules, competes for binding sites on the nickel molecules, and as such keeps other things besides just your protein, which has more histidines than the imidazole, from binding to the nickel. When the column has been run, you treat it with high levels of imidazole, which eventually displace your protein that is stuck to the nickel, and as such allows you to isolate the protein that you want. Now, the nickel column did not actually work, but I'm told that that was not my fault and that it was a poorly prepared column, and so we regenerated the nickel column, but by that time did not really have any more time to play with the column and isolating that particular protein. And so now we started to work on the actual research project for the semester, step one of which was doing a mini prep, which is a technique that allows you to isolate the plasmid from a given cell. And so we ran the mini prep and we isolated the MVAE plasmid, which is contains the gene that codes for the fusion protein of acetyl-CoA thiolase and HMG-CoA reductase, which is the gene that we want to split up, mutate, and then see the properties of when it only translates transcribes and translates into the thiolase protein. What came next was a procedure called mutagenesis, which, as you might figure out from the name, is essentially a mechanism for creating a mutation in a given gene at a particular site. And what we wanted to do was insert a stop codon in the MVAE gene so that once it had coded for the thylase enzyme, it would stop and no longer code for the reductase enzyme. So that would give us a mechanism to study the thylase enzyme on its own. In order to do this, we had to design our own primers for the mutagenesis, which was possibly the most interesting part of research this semester for myself. It opened up kind of a new world to me. We went shopping for the thylase primers online, essentially, and it was kind of funny. It was like Amazon.com for oligonucleotides. But essentially what we did in designing the mutated primer, or the primer that would act as a mutation, was take nucleotides that are already in the MVAE gene and make them identical, except for we would insert a stop codon at the point which would keep the gene from transcribing and translating the reductase enzyme. And so we did that, ordered it online, and received it, and were able to work with it. And we ran the mutagenesis, which is a really interesting procedure. Essentially what it does, essentially what you do is you denature the plasmid that you want to mutate, so not the plasmid with the mutation, but the MVAE plasmid, and anneal the oligonucleotide primers, which you designed, with the desired mutation point. And then using DNA polymerase, these mutations extend and incorporate the mutated primers in order to mutate the gene that we were studying. Now, the first time I tried this procedure, it did not come out the way we wanted it to, probably due to an operator error. We're not exactly sure what happened, and so we repeated the mutagenesis and a polymerase chain reaction procedure and produced the genes that we wanted. One step that we forgot to do and didn't realize till later was at the restrictive enzyme DPN1, which functions to chop up the non-mutated genes. So it ensures that basically only the mutated genes are left in your sample. And so by this point, we've carried out the procedure for the mutation, and we just need to see what exactly happened, if our procedure worked or not. And so we transformed the mutated genes with a stop codon in them, and then plated the cells on agar plates in order to see what grew. From this particular transformation, we had 4 colonies grow, and what we decided to do was mini-prep them to get the plasmids from each colony so that we could analyze each plasmid individually. For our first analysis, we prepared 3 different transformations, one using PET28 and one using genes from our thylase, what we called colony 1, and then the second colony from the agar plate. And strangely, when we did this transformation, nothing grew on the agar plates, and so we decided to try the transformation again preparing 3 different samples, but using the genes from thylase colony 3 and thylase colony 4, and this time we had success in growing the cells. At this point, it became a matter of conducting a protein purification similar to the one that I had to do for practice before research started. We used a sonicator to break open the cells from the 3rd and 4th colonies, and in this way we got the proteins from them, and used an SDS page gel in order to assay them for activity. However, similar to all of my experiments that I tried for the first time, this page gel did not stay together properly, and it became corrupted and unreadable. And so we tried the gel again, this time preparing 12 samples, each with slight differences, whether or not they came from the supernatant of the solution, the pellet of the solution, or whether or not each sample was treated with an enzyme called IPTG, which could affect the way that the proteins were growing. What we found out after assaying the gels was that the thiolase gene had not been properly isolated, and that what in fact grew was the fusion protein. Although this wasn't exactly what we intended to do with our research project, one notable thing that did happen was that the fusion protein grew at 37 degrees Celsius, which apparently has not been easy to do in the past, and so that is one accomplishment of the research project. This was actually the final steps of this research project were done today, and so needless to say, we didn't have any more time during the semester to retry different techniques, but that's certainly something that we are going to pursue in the future. Again, thank you to the Honors College for allowing me the opportunity to do research. I learned a ton this semester about laboratory techniques, and I'm excited to do more research in the future.